I don't know how far we're going to get, but we'll get however far we are, and then we'll stop. So, anyway, Acts chapter 18 is, again, we're talking about Paul, and he is completing a journey here. And we'll probably go through, I don't know, a while. We'll read and make some comments, but not many. Anyway, Acts chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them." Now, who is Aquila and Priscilla? Well, we studied a little bit about them just a few minutes ago, didn't we? These were people that helped Paul along. They went with him in many places. They're mentioned in the Bible several times. And that they commanded, they left Rome, and verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, they did the same thing, the work that they did. He abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So they made tents. And I believe they helped one another in that. But more importantly, they were spiritually of the same profession. They were servants of the Lord. Verse 4, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." Now, does that mean he actually persuaded them? I don't know. Some, I'm sure he did. Others, not so much. But at least he presented the word to them. Verse 5, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." Now, we're talking about Paul again, and he's telling them, this guy that I used to persecute, this guy that I helped to kill people because I thought I was serving the Lord, he is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the one we've been looking for. Here he is, and what happened? We killed him. That he is persuading the Jews and the Greeks. Why? Because he was an apostle to the Gentiles, wasn't he? Verse 6, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed," that's talking about those in the synagogue, they opposed themselves, they did themselves harm by doing this, didn't they? People don't realize, when you blaspheme the Lord, you are doing yourself great harm. "And they opposed themselves and blasphemed. He shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles." In other words, he says, it's all your fault. You don't want to hear about the Lord? I'll go to those that want to hear. Anyway. That's it. I'm out of here. So he's going to go to the Gentiles, verse 7, "And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue." So he didn't go very far, did he? Didn't have to. You know, a lot of times we think that, you know, we have missionaries. Some of them are near near? No. Some of them are far away, but just some of them are farther away. And we feel like, you know, we have to do that. Paul is a missionary, right? He was an apostle. And what was his first missionary work here, at least at this time? He departed from the synagogue and went to a certain man's house named Justus, who worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. It was like that. One wall, so to speak. And he said, I'll go here. We don't have to go far. You want to be a missionary for the Lord? You want to be a servant of the Lord? Sometimes you just go to your neighbor's house. Sometimes you go to your own house. Verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So he left the synagogue. He went to Justus's house. Many heard and believed. You don't have to go far. You don't have to go far. The chief ruler of the synagogue. I've often wondered, you know, some of these higher up people, at least in their own mind, they're higher up. If one of them would get saved, wonder what that would be like. You know, can you imagine a saved pope? You talk about something coming crumbling down now. That's one organization I believe would almost cease to exist. Anyway, verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Now, we don't have visions like that, do we? Where do we get our visions? Our visions come from God's Word. We don't need to have a dream. And I've heard preachers say that they get their messages in, or some of their messages in dreams. And I suppose that's true. I don't know. However he deals with them. But mostly, and really almost entirely, it's through his word. But he spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Okay, you know, don't be afraid. Speak. Verse 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. He said, don't be afraid. They can't touch you. You go ahead and you speak. You speak the gospel. You teach them. Because I got a lot of people in this city. Now, how many people does the Lord have in King's Edition? I don't know. Is it many? Probably not. There's not that many people here. Is it a few? Maybe. Is it none? Also maybe. What do we do then? Then we go to the next place. Paul went to the synagogue first. Then he went to Justice's house. What if nothing worked out there at Justice's house? What would he do? He might have just went to the next house. We're not to give up. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. A year and a half. That's kind of unusual for somebody like Paul to stay in one place that long. I mean, he went all over the creation, didn't he? But he stayed there a year and a half. Why? Because the Lord had much people in that city. Verse 12, and when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat.
I don't know whether this was a test of Paul or a test of Jesus to Paul. But they brought him to the judgment seat. Verse 13, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." Wow, I would sure hope so. Because how many people were saved by the law up to that point? And the answer is absolutely none. And from that point forward, the answer is still absolutely none. Verse 14, when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would I would that I should bear with you." In other words, you know, if this was something that was really wrong, then I would listen to you. I'd bear your babbling and stop, basically what he's saying here. Verse 15, "But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." Another says, I'm not going to pay any attention to this. This is garbage. Get out of here. In verse 16, and he drave them from the judgment seat. Hit the road. Now, if somebody comes to our church and they start talking bad about our pastor, and they say he leaves his wife every week. Well, he got to go to Pennsylvania to work so he can provide for her. And everybody, these people, they want to make things out of nothing. You would think, he's abandoned her. No. It's ridiculous. Should we listen if they've come in and say, "Roger, he goes into a lot of different stores and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure he's stuffing stuff in his coat and everything like that." Should we listen to him? Nope. Anyway, we need to drive him out of the judgment seat. This is the judgment seat here, isn't it? As far as we're concerned, these things. Now, if a brother or sister has something against you, then they are to come to you, right? To make it right. If you won't hear them, then somebody goes with them. Maybe two or three. And try to make it right. And then, if things can't be made right, then the thing is brought before the church. This is the judgment seat of here, so to speak. But he drave him out of the judgment seat. Verse 17, "Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things." You know, they beat him right there in front of the judgment seat, and he didn't care. Go ahead, beat him up. He's the one that started all this. But Paul, verse 18, and Paul after this tarried there yet a good while. And then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him Priscilla and Aquila, here they are again, they're going with Paul, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. Now, it was traditional for Jewish men back then to have short hair. This was more than short hair. He had shorn his head. He was bald. Because he had a vow. And if you make a vow to the Lord, you better keep it until it's complete. And Aquila here. Okay, I don't know what it would. I don't have much to cut off, but I really want to keep what I got. Just to be honest about it, I'm not a vain person. I don't care much what I look like, other than reasonably presentable. I embarrass Connie sometimes, but not that often. But well, maybe I do. I don't know. But anyway, he had to shorten his head because he had a vow. Verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, Priscilla and Aquila, but he himself entered into the synagogue. Here we go again. And reasoned with the Jews. Now he said, I'm going to go to the Gentiles, right? Isn't that what he said? Still yet. God has a chosen people. He has an earthly chosen people, which are the Jews, and we are to go to the Jews first, then the Gentiles. And Paul goes again into the synagogue and reason with the Jews. But verse 20, when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. He said, I've given you the word. I've given you the word. Now I'm going to go on. There's others that haven't heard. You've heard. Anyway, he consented not, verse 21, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Okay, he said, I'll try to get back to you. If it's God's will, I'll get back to you. But I have to keep this feast. Verse 22, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch, going back home, so to speak. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia, in order, strengthening all the disciples. He was going back to where he'd been, encouraging the churches there that had been established. And do we go back to people that we've talked to? You know, people that make a profession. You know, we think, well, the gospel, you know, they don't need to hear that anymore. No, we need to hear it often. It wouldn't hurt to hear it every day. Brother Steve talked about a message he gave here not too long ago. He said he had preached it about 3 times since he's been here. You know what? Doesn't matter. So what? If it's out of God's word, we need to hear it. Anyway, we're going to read through Aquila and Apollos, and verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now, we've all read this already in the Sunday school lesson. This man was instructed in the way of God, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now that's as far as we read during the Sunday school lesson. Verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass, I've got to get my other notes out of the way, into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Receive him. We're sending him on to you now. He's been instructed. Who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. Now, a lot of times, the things that we believe, we receive it through grace. There's things that we pick up later through reading God's Word. But, you know, the things that we receive by reading God's Word, that's by grace too. All of it is God's grace. But these people, they hadn't known much. They hadn't known much. And what they had got by grace that God had given them. And he goes on and says, verse 28, and he mightily convinced the Jews that, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So even in those days, many had to be persuaded. We need to be, as children of God, we need to be fully persuaded. There's a persuasion where we say, well, I think, and that's not what this is talking about. This is that we know. We know that Jesus is Christ. He was Christ. He is Christ. He will always be Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the promised Son of God. And that's as far as we're going to go today. Anyway, I hope y'all got something out of this. It wasn't a message. It was a scripture reading with commentary. How's that? Anyway, let's go.